Would you like to open your Bibles? We're going to look at Genesis. Genesis chapter 42. So we start at verse 25. So that's Genesis 42, verse 25. We're going to go into chapter 43. Joseph gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to put each man's silver back in his sack, and to give them provisions for their journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. At the place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw his silver in the mouth of his sack. "My silver has been returned," he said to his brothers. "Here it is in my sack." Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other, trembling, and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened. They said, "The man who is Lord over the land spoke harshly to us and treated us as though we were spying on the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men, we are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.' Then the man who is Lord over the land said to us, 'This is how I will know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me, and take food for your starving households and go. But bring your youngest brother to me, so I will know you are not spies but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you, and you can trade in the land.' As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver. When they and their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them, 'You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin. Everything is against me.' Then Reuben said to his father, 'You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back.' But Jacob said, 'My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow.' Now this famine was still severe in the land. So when they had eaten all the grain they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, 'Go back and buy us a little more food.' But Judah said to him, 'The man warned us solemnly, "You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, "You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you."' Israel asked, 'Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?' They replied, 'The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. "Is your father still living?" he asked us. "Do you have another brother?" We simply answered his questions. "How are we to know?" he would say, "Bring your brother down here." Then Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you all my life. As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice." Then their father Israel said to them, "If it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift, a little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once, and may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, I am bereaved. I am bereaved. Thanks be to God. Amen. That's a little snapshot there of Jacob and his family. I hope you picked up the thread there. Now let us pray for a moment. Let's just come before the Lord. And Lord, we just ask you for your blessing in this time as we look at the scriptures, we look at the truth, and Lord, we look at the message that you have for us. Pray, Lord, that we'll take it to heart. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. In these early days of the new year, I find there's something almost irresistible with that well-known saying, out with the old and in with the new. Change is something we all need. And while some will want to hold on to the old, preferring to stay with the familiar, others will want to let go of the old and experience something new, something better. Sometimes it takes more strength to let go than it does to hold on. Let me explain with this little well-known story of the rock climber who was climbing up this huge cliff almost to the top when all of a sudden he lost his footing and began to fall. Amazingly, some might say miraculously, he managed to reach out and grab a branch that was growing out of the side of the cliff face. So there he was, dangling hundreds of feet up in the air, holding on for dear life. And realizing there was no way up or down, he began to shout for help. Moments later, God's voice rang out from on high and said, I'm here. What do you need? The climber said, God, I can't hold on much longer. Please rescue me. I'll do anything. Just tell me what to do. And God replied, let go and I'll catch you. You've heard that one before. It all ends with the stranded man shouting, help, help, is there anyone else up there? Well, that well-known story begs the question whether we are trusting the Lord enough to let go of whatever we're holding on to and surrender our lives to him. Have you noticed that whatever you hold on to in life, it begins to hold on to you? That's great if you're holding on to Jesus and he's holding on to you. But too often we hold on to things or situations which can weigh us down and prevent us from running the race that God has for us. The problem is, it's not always easy letting God do what he needs to do in our lives. It's hard because we tend to focus on what we are giving up rather than what we are getting in exchange. When we submit to God's plans and purposes, then we can experience all the blessings and miracles he has for us. Now, some of you may be thinking, I surrendered my life to Christ years ago, so tell me something new. But here's what's new. That initial surrender to Christ, which we often refer to as the point of salvation, was not the end of the story. It was only really the starting place. Tragically, there are Christians who live discouraged, defeated lives because having once surrendered initial control to Christ, they have reverted to managing their own lives. In today's world, with so many demands and distractions, we have to be careful not to let them become more important than our relationship with God. We owe God a high level of commitment, and so it's crucial that our lives are surrendered for His will to be done. With these thoughts of surrender, we turn to our Genesis reading, where Jacob is struggling to feed his family. Not only had he children from two wives, Leah and Rachel, but also children by their maidservants. Although Jacob was blessed and renamed Israel by God, he had become a sad old man because he grieved the loss of Joseph, his first and favorite son, born of Rachel. Joseph was believed to be dead. However, unbeknown to Jacob and his family, Joseph was in Egypt and had been elevated to a position of power. Also, Jacob's youngest son, Benjamin, was special because Rachel died giving birth to him, and so Jacob had become fiercely protective of him. When a famine came to the land of Canaan, where Jacob and his family were living, Jacob decided to send 10 of his sons to Egypt to purchase grain. On arrival in Egypt, the sons met the man in charge of distributing the food, who happened to be Joseph. And Joseph recognized his brothers immediately, but did not reveal his identity. Instead, he accused his brothers of being spies and put Simeon, one of the brothers, in prison. Then he sent the other brothers back to Canaan with sacks of grain and commanded them to prove who they said they were by returning to Egypt with their youngest brother, Benjamin. With a severe famine continuing in Canaan and the supply of grain from Egypt rapidly dwindling, Jacob would soon need to find more food to feed his family. But Jacob is trapped between doing what is best for his family and his fear that if he allows Benjamin to go to Egypt for more grain, the outcome would be death and tragedy. Not until all their grain had been eaten did Jacob tell his sons to go back to Egypt and buy more food. But Judah, one of Jacob's sons, spoke up and reminded his father again that the man in charge of Egypt warned them not to return without Benjamin. Yet Jacob still refused and said, "My son cannot go with you. His brother is dead and he is the only one left. Something might happen to him on the way. I am an old man and the sorrow you would cause me would kill me." Unfortunately, Jacob's hold on his son Benjamin was so tight that he was unwilling to surrender control and let Benjamin go to Egypt. In the same way, when we're faced with losing someone or something precious, we can sometimes say, "What if this happens? What if I lose everything I have? What if I never see him again?" That's what Jacob was saying. Something might happen to him. Paralysis had set in, and Jacob would not let go of Benjamin for fear of losing him. It must have been difficult for Jacob, who had faced many dangerous situations head on, to finally recognize or even admit that he was paralyzed by fear, grief, and anxiety at one of the most critical points in his life. The problem for Jacob was that if he held on to Benjamin, then everyone was going to starve, for the man in charge of Egypt was not going to release any more grain until Benjamin came to Egypt. Not only that, if Jacob held on to Benjamin, then he would lose the opportunity of being reunited with Joseph. And in effect, he would not be surrendering to the will of God. Jacob needed to realize that his son Benjamin was the key that would open the door to Egypt, and this was part of God's plan. It's the same for us. If we don't surrender our lives to God, then we are going to lose the opportunity of seeing what God can do in our lives. Are there any Benjamins or barriers that could be keeping us from surrendering our lives to God? Could it be our pain, our hurts, our disappointments, our self-preoccupation, our sin? What are you struggling with right now? What are you holding on to so tightly that it almost makes your hands hurt? What is it that you are afraid to give to God? Whatever it is, you'll be a lot better off when you open your clenched fist and finally say, "Your will be done." But you'll never know until you let go. Jacob needed to let go of Benjamin, and eventually, after much persuasion, and with Judah's promise to protect Benjamin, Jacob gave in and said, "If that is how it has to be, then take your brother and return at once." So the brothers, including Benjamin, went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Like Jacob, we are not called to control our lives or to rewrite our stories, but we are called to be a part of God's plan, and it starts with surrender. If God is not king of everything, then he's not really king at all. God wants all our life. 95% is not enough. Have we handed to Jesus all the keys of our heart? Have we surrendered our time, our finances, our gifts and abilities, our relationships, our children and our grandchildren? Have we surrendered those dreams that we like to hold on to and not let go of? God wants us to let go so he can put something better in our hands. Often, God will have us surrender our dreams because our dreams are often for us, but God wants our dreams to be for him. When Jacob's sons, including Benjamin, arrived in Egypt, they presented gifts and bowed down to the ruler in Egypt, who, unbeknown to them, was their brother Joseph. And so the brothers sought to win the ruler's acceptance and favor. Joseph brought them to his house for a feast. Yet the brothers were fearful of losing their freedom, their possessions and their control to return home. They thought it was a trap to make them into slaves. But Joseph provided a feast, and they just couldn't understand that this ruler of Egypt, who they feared was actually someone who loved them and wanted to bless them richly. And in the same way, do we have a hard time putting our hope in God, who loves us and who invites us to a feast with him at his banquet of salvation, because we see ourselves as so unworthy? Unlike Jacob clinging to his beloved son Benjamin, God the Father did not cling to his son, but was willing to let him to go to earth to die for us, to reconcile us to himself. God's son, Jesus Christ, did not grasp his deity, but was willing to let go and become a man, even to death on a cross. And for us, the cross is the decision to surrender our will to God. Nothing more, nothing less. A person must make the decision every day, not merely during the invitation at a gospel meeting. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Maybe some of us here this morning, and I include myself, need to lay down our behaviour at the foot of the cross and say, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. For I'm fed up with myself. I'm fed up with my flesh. I'm fed up with my temper. I'm fed up with my manner. I'm fed up with my attitude. I'm fed up with my behaviour. I've been worried too long. I've been depressed too long. I've been weak too long. I've been unforgiving too long. I've been jealous too long. I've been mad at her too long. I've been angry at him too long. I've been upset this too long. Fix me, Lord. Clean me, Lord. Sanctify me, Lord. Wash me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord." And if we want to see the fire of revival in this church, or in any other church for that matter, then we first have to have a funeral pyre where we let go, putting to death and cremating everything that is hindering us, everything that has got us in a rut, everything that is stopping us from experiencing the power of God. Could it be that God is saying, "I'm tired of you being thirsty for stuff more than you're thirsty for me. I want you back. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I want you praising me the way you used to praise me. I want you seeking me like you used to seek me. I want you calling on me like you used to call on me. I'm not calling you to a crown. I'm calling you to a cross. I'm calling you to a crucified life, and I'm calling you to a surrendered life." And for Jacob, his eventual release of Benjamin and surrender to God was the best thing he could have done. Not only was the family saved from starvation, but Joseph's boyhood dreams were fulfilled. The brothers were freed and forgiven for what they did to Joseph, and the family was brought together. Since Jacob, many others have surrendered to God with staggering results. Recently, I read about a missionary who returned home after a difficult life spent serving the Lord in a faraway country. He was old and in poor health from many years of dedicated service. When someone asked if he regretted how he had spent his life, he said, "Oh no, I decided on that long ago." Then he told his story. As a young man, he had struggled greatly with surrendering his life to God. He told God he would serve him, but only if certain conditions were met. But that gave him no peace. Finally, after many days spent wrestling with the Lord, he finally came to a point of full surrender. Taking a blank sheet of paper, he signed his name at the bottom and said, "Lord, you fill in the details." And so everything else in his life flowed from that commitment. It's a fact that there are Christians today who are struggling because they're trying to bargain with God. When would we learn that God doesn't make deals? We'd all be more content if we simply signed on the bottom line and said, "Lord, you fill in the details." Sometimes it takes years, but eventually we discover that the greatest obstacle to God's blessing in our lives is not others. It is ourself, our self-will, our stubborn pride and our personal ambition. Some years ago, when I was a minister of a church at Melton Mowbray, I had a dream one night. I won't go into the details, but when I woke up, I immediately knew what the dream meant. and God was telling me to take my hands off the steering wheel. Unwittingly, in my enthusiasm and ambition to move the church forward, I had been trying to control the church and do things my way. So many Christians are living disastrous, broken lives, all because they are trying to do it all on their own without any of God's help. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and that it is not in man to try and direct his own steps in this life. Since God is all-powerful and all-knowing, this means he knows much better than you do what you should be doing with your life, what mountains you should be seeking to climb, and what goals and aspirations you should be striving after this life. Only God knows what you were really created to be in this life. Only God knows what you would really be best at. Only God knows what your true calling should be in life. Only God knows who you should marry and what sort of work you should be doing in this life. And since God is all-powerful and there is nothing that he cannot do or accomplish, then this means he can also anoint you with his power for whatever he will be calling you to do for him in this life. Surrendering to God is the most life-altering decision you can ever make in this life. If God is going to do his deepest work in us, we will need to let go. So give it all to God, our past regrets, our present problems, our future ambitions, our fear, our dreams, our weaknesses, our habits, hurts, and hang-ups. Let us put Christ in the driver's seat of our life and let go of the steering wheel. We need not be afraid, for nothing under Christ's control can ever get out of control. Once Jacob made the decision to let Benjamin go, his life began to change for the better. Although he expected to be bereaved, he ended up with blessings that were beyond his wildest expectations. Not only was he given the news that his son Joseph was alive, but his son Simeon was released from an Egyptian prison, and Benjamin was not harmed. In addition to being blessed, Jacob's family was allowed to move to Egypt and have the support and protection of Pharaoh. His family would be well provided for, would have the opportunity to prosper. This all goes to show that the greatest breakthroughs in life can come after a time of surrendering everything to God. If you have been running your own life over all these years with no real fruit, with no real sense of accomplishment, try giving the Lord a chance. Let go of the frustration of having to have it your way. He may just blow you away with what he may have in store for you if you are willing to come into full surrender to him. Maybe now is the time to surrender to God's grace, love, and wisdom. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I want to make just a little proposal to you. I've got here a New Year Covenant Prayer, and I'd like to give each one of you a copy. It has come from the Methodist Church, but I've amended some of the words. So I'd just like you to have a quick read of these, and if you feel that's okay, then we'll stand and we'll say it together. Do you want to pass some round? If you feel you would like to make this covenant with God for this new year, I'm not forcing you, but if you do, then if you'd like to stand, and shall we say this together, those can go along with this. So we say together, I am no longer my own, but but yours. Use me as you will. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly run the race that you have marked out for me, and I surrender every aspect of my life to you. Glorious and awesome God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. Let this covenant which I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen.